Our Hebrew Bible lesson comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, and then verses 15 and 16. You can find it in your pew Bible, in the Hebrew Bible on page 12. Hear this story. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 145 of the New Testament. Hear now the words of the Apostle Paul. "For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of all of us. As it is written, 'I have made you the father of many nations,' in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what he said, 'So numerous shall your descendants be.' He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, 'it was reckoned to him,' were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The gospel message today comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. You can find it in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 41. "Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, 'Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things.' He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, 'If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Pretty heavy-duty stuff there. Well, this week as I was reading through these scriptures and thinking about them, I kept coming back around to the idea of names and how important a name is in our relationships among people. So as you think about names, I want you to look at the bulletin, the cover of that bulletin. And my guess is that some of you may be familiar with that kind of sticker. Hello, my name is. Now, likely, if you've ever been to a meeting or a class, or maybe even a party, sometimes they have these at parties, as you walk through the door, somebody handed you one of these stickers and a pen or a marker and said, would you write your name down there and slap it on you so folks can see it up front? As a quick aside, when you're thinking about name tags, there's been an idea that's floated that we ought to reinstitute our idea of using name tags every Sunday. In fact, Ken and Esther Smith mentioned a while back over Christmas, they donated seed money so that we could buy new name tags so everybody would have them. And then we'd have temporary ones for folks who were visiting us. And I think this goes a long way toward displaying that kind of radical hospitality of Jesus Christ. So I'm interested in your feedback about that, about whether we should reinstitute name tags, how you think that would work. So, but back to this idea of, hello, my name is. How many of you have ever worn those stickers? You ever left it on and you go into the grocery store or something? Yeah, I've done that too. Anyway, I've always wanted to mess around with those stickers. I've always wanted, handed me that, I wanted to write down, hello, my name is Moses, or Abraham Lincoln, or maybe one time just write down Sue, and see how many people got it. But I've never done it. I've thought about it, but I've never done it. Because after all, a name is a pretty important thing. A name signifies identity. It is who we are. But it also has something to say about association, whose we are. Well, I want you to think about that idea of names. If you go into thinking about your name and what it's meant to you over your lifetime, a couple stories for you. When I was a kid growing up in Central Ohio in elementary school, I thought about my name a lot. You see, at the beginning of the school year, every time you went into a new class, the teacher would read through the list of all the students for the very first time. And often she was trying to figure out the pronunciation. And if I close my eyes, I can still hear that first day of third grade. Mrs. Hannes was reading through the list, and I can hear her. She said, Susan Matthews. Yes. William Morris. Yes. Say, aren't you the brother of Chris Morris? And I would say, yes, Mrs. Hannes. It drove me crazy. You see, my older sister, Chris, was a straight-A student throughout her career. And so once they figured out that I was related to Chris Morris, the holy Chris Morris, I was expected to perform like she did. I was expected to get straight-A's. And I didn't really like that association. But later, as I grew up, I took a part-time job on the campus of Ohio State University. And as people met me, they would often look at me and they would say, Will Morris, say, isn't your dad Dr. Bill Morris from the Department of Engineering and the College of Engineering? And I would say, well, yeah, he is. That's my father. So I was proud to be associated with my dad. So you may have those kinds of associations in your upbringing about a name. But I also want you to think about names as they're used in Scripture. Because so many times throughout the Holy Book, names are associated with people's faith and with their relationship to God. A name has a lot to say about family and covenant and promises. In fact, when you go to that Old Testament story from Genesis, when you think about Abram, this is a great story because at this point in the story, we're hearing that God is reiterating the covenant, the promise that He made to Abram. And this time He goes a little further. God goes further and says, Abram, you will be the beginning of a multitude of nations. And because of that promise, of that covenant that God makes with Abram, God says, I will change your name from Abram, which means exalted ancestor. Your name will now be Abraham, which means ancestor of a multitude. And this promise goes also to his wife. Sarai becomes Sarah because she will give birth to a son. She is 90 plus years old. God promises a son and promises that this newly named Sarah, which means woman of high rank, Sarah will be the mother of that multitude of nations. Well, names are also important when you think about the promise that God made to Sarah and to Abraham. As we read from the New Testament, the reading that Ken read, as Paul points out, we are justified by our faith. And our faith is a gift to us from God through God's grace. And so Paul points out that Abraham and Sarah were not reckoned as righteous because of their adherence to the law. It wasn't that they were good Jewish people. It was that they had faith in God. And because as we go back in our spiritual family, we can go all the way back to Abraham and Sarah. Their faith reckoned as righteousness translates over time to our faith reckoned as righteousness. So names are critically important. Abraham and Sarah were transformed when their names were changed because of their faith. It's a great story also from the Gospel of Mark as well. Jesus was telling, the first of three times in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is telling His disciples that He would be crucified, would die a horrible death, and 3 days later would rise in the resurrection. Well, Peter wanted nothing to do with this. There were other disciples there, but we hear about Peter. Peter has an interesting name as well. We first discover him in the Scriptures as Simon. He's referred to as Simon Peter. At other places in Scripture, Jesus refers to him as Cephas, which means the rock. Because Peter would be the disciple upon whose foundation Jesus would build the church. Peter the rock was the basis for the modern church today. But in this instance, when Peter cannot accept that the Messiah would be killed in this horrible death, Peter takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. Well, as you remember, Jesus has a new name for Peter. He says, Satan, get behind me. Now, Peter was a devout disciple. He recognized that God's kingdom was coming. He knew that this was the Messiah, but he didn't see it the same way Jesus did. And yet we know there is ample evidence that Peter's life was transformed by his association with Jesus Christ. So I want you to think about your own name. Many times in our church, names are bestowed upon kids when they come for holy baptism. How many of you had your name, were you christened at your baptism? Anybody? You probably weren't around, but you may have heard stories. Okay. Sometimes that happens. That used to be the tradition in the church. In any event, when you are baptized, whether as a baby or as a kid or as an adult, the clergy person uses your name in a new and significant way. Because that person recognized that God has called you by a new name. God has transformed your life through God's prevenient grace. And so the baby, the child, the adult that is baptized has a life that is now transformed and will never be the same again. Now, in many other Christian traditions, including mine when I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, they have a sacrament of that church called confirmation. We confirm kids as well, but we don't make it a sacrament. But in the Roman Catholic Church, you're asked to select a new name with which you will be confirmed. And when I was a teenager, I was confirmed as Matthew, which means gift of God in Hebrew. At that time, at confirmation, again, we are transformed with a new name into a new life with Christ, and we're never the same again. But I want you to think about your name as you walk with Jesus Christ through these 40 days of Lent. I want to think about your life and with whom and with what has your name now come to be associated. How have you linked your life through your name to faith and to God? And I want you to think about if you're ready today, during Lent, to have your life transformed yet again by the love of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, I want you to think about Abraham and Sarah and Peter and all the other wonderful characters of the Bible. I want you to think about the transformative power of a name and to think about your name as well. What is the name that God will use to address you when God calls you into mission work? In those quiet and most private of times in prayer, how will Jesus address you when Jesus calls you into that transformative life of a disciple? Think about it. Amen.